the men brought to him a paralyzed
man,
lying on a mat. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the man, "Take heart, son. Your sins are forgiven." At this, some of the teachers of the law said to themselves, "This fellow is blaspheming." Knowing their thoughts, Jesus said, "Why do you entertain evil thoughts in your hearts? Which is easier, to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the paralyzed man, "Get up, take your mat and go home." Then the man got up and went home. When the crowd saw this, they were filled with awe, and they praised God who had given authority to man. Just then, a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up behind him. And she touched his cloak. She said to herself, "If I only touch this cloak, I will be healed." Jesus turned and saw her. "Take heart, daughter," he said. "Your faith has healed you." And the woman was healed at that moment. Jesus went out, as usual, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them. He knelt down and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground.
The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead. The lame will leap, the dumb will speak, the praises of the Lamb. Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nation? Did you know that your baby boy was heaven's perfect lamb? The sleeping child you're holding is the great I
that you
saying, we found this fellow perverting the nations and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ, a king. So Pilate asked Jesus, are you the king of the Jews? You have said so, Jesus replied. Then Pilate announced to the chief priests and to the crowd, I find no basis for a charge against this man. But they insisted, he stirs up the people all over Judea by his teaching. He started in Galilee and has come all the way here. Pilate called together the chief priests, the rulers, and the people and said to them, you brought me this man as one who was inciting the people to rebellion. I have examined him in your presence and have found no basis for your charges against him. Neither has Herod, for he sent him back to us. As you can see, he has done nothing to deserve death. Therefore, I will punish him and then release him. But the whole crowd shouted, away with this man! Release Barabbas to us! Barabbas had been thrown into prison for an insurrection in the city and for murder. Wanting to release Jesus, Pilate appealed to them again. But they kept shouting, crucify him! Crucify him! For the third time, he spoke to them, why? What crime has this man committed? I have found in him no grounds for the death penalty. Therefore, I will have him punished and then release him. But with loud shouts, they insistently demanded that he be crucified. And their shouts prevailed. So Pilate decided to grant their demand. He released the man who had been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder, the one they asked for, and surrendered Jesus to their will. Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there, along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, he saved others. Let him save himself, if he is God's Messiah, the chosen one. The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, if you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. There was a written notice above him. It said, here is the king of the Jews. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us. But the other criminal rebuked him. Don't you fear God? He said, since you are under the same sentence. We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve, but this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus answered him, Truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m, for the sun stopped shining. And the temple of the curtain was torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And when he had said this, he breathed his last. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And while they were surveying around them, suddenly, two men appeared to them in clothes that gleamed like lightning. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here. He is risen."
Can I ask Kim Rockhold to come on out and Shannon come on up here? Come on up and let's see here. We have a little expression of appreciation and thanks to you too for all the work and hours that they put into this and having to deal with people like us whose phones go off in the middle of the play. So thank you so much. Thank you so much for all your work. Merry Christmas. God bless you. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. And I have to apologize. I thought it was the microphone going off. It was my cell phone. And I couldn't get to it. I apologize. I apologize. My, my, my. So I got completely discombobulated, so if I mess things up, I apologize, but we'll keep on going on. I failed to read the other scripture earlier, so I'm going to ask if we could read both passages of scripture. First, the Matthew chapter 1 scripture, if we could bring that up. That was supposed to be read at the very beginning, and of course we were going to play it out for you. This comes from the Gospel of Matthew. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home. He did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Our second scripture reading comes from John's Gospel, Chapter 1, verses 12 through 13. "Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave them the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God." The Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. Would you take a moment and pray with me? Father, we thank you for the beautiful way that we can have actors and music to try to portray and reenact the birth of Christ and his ministry and his death and resurrection. We know that the cradle is just the beginning of the story, and the cross is not the end, but his resurrection as the Messiah proved that he was indeed your Son, our Savior. So, Lord, we look at your word for a few minutes tonight. May your Spirit speak to us, to each one in our hearts. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Allow me to speak to you for just a few minutes tonight. And I want to ask you a question. We saw, and I'm going to have to adjust this because I'm getting all kinds of feedback. That should be better. Let me ask you a question this evening. You all have seen the story portrayed before you. And we had some fun. We had a lot of fun preparing for it. We knew that it wasn't going to be something we were trying to make it perfect, but rather something that would portray the message in a real way from real people. And so some of us may have messed up a little bit. I messed up big time, but that was sort of intended, that it wouldn't come across as being perfect. But I believe the heart of the message, that Christmas is about Jesus. And it's not really just a message about Jesus being born as a baby in the manger, even being born miraculously. So my question tonight is, do you know just the story, or do you know the Savior? Do you truly know Him? Because Jesus Christ came not to just give a good story, not to be just a good teacher, not to be a great example, although He is all of those things, and His teachings show us how to live and serve God and love one another indeed. But do you know Him as Savior? Do you know Jesus Christ in a saving relationship? As you saw portrayed before us, the people that were waiting for Jesus, that were gathered and had hopes and expectations, they missed it. Even though some of them celebrated at His birth, and later when He ministered, they celebrated that when He came into Jerusalem. Do you remember with me what's called the triumphant procession into Jerusalem? And the people gathered and they laid down palm branches because they believed Jesus was the one promised by the prophets. And they cried out, "Hosanna! Hosanna!" Which actually, in the original language, is Hosanna. Hosanna, meaning Lord, save. Lord, save us. You're the one that has been sent to save us. And as He came in, rather than going into the heart of Jerusalem and taking on the Romans, or even going into the temple and confronting the religious leaders at that point, He came in and He wept. He wept over Jerusalem. And He said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who stone and kill the prophets, would you that you had have received and saw your day of redemption?" And He cried and He wept over Jerusalem. And then He turned around and He left. And the people were like, "What are you doing, Jesus? I thought you were coming to be inaugurated, to be the king. I thought you were gonna do it. This was the time, Jesus." And Jesus said, "No, it's not the time. And It's not my plan." So the people that were expecting Jesus and were getting excited, they began to lose heart. They began to say, "Well, maybe Jesus isn't the one. We thought He was." The religious leaders of the day, they knew the Scriptures. They knew the Scriptures very well. If you ask them, they would tell you all of the messianic prophecies that the prophets had given over hundreds of years. Do you remember when they talked about Jesus who was from Nazareth? Do you remember what one of the teachers said? "What can any good come from Nazareth?" Another teacher said, "Look and see in the Scriptures that the Messiah is not born in Nazareth. The Messiah is born in Bethlehem." And they didn't even know that Jesus had been born in Bethlehem. But they knew the Scriptures, and they knew that the things that needed to be fulfilled, that Jesus had fulfilled some of those things. And there were some that were wondering. Do you remember with me Nicodemus, who came to Jesus at night? You remember, he didn't want to be seen going to Jesus, but he came to Jesus at night because he didn't want to be seen. And he asked Jesus a question. And he said, "Jesus, good teacher, what must I do to have eternal life?" And Jesus looked at him and said, "You're Israel's teacher, and you don't know these things?" He said, "You must be born again." Nicodemus says, you mean I must climb back into my mother's womb and be born again a second time? Jesus said, no. That which is born of flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Why do you amaze when I say to you, you must be born again? You must be born from above. Nicodemus didn't understand what he meant. Jesus fulfilled many, many prophecies that they were looking for in the Messiah. We do know that there were some on the council that eventually put their faith into Jesus. We also know in the book of Acts that later tells us that many priests became obedient to the faith and trusted in Jesus Christ. But the vast majority of the religious elite and the religious scholars of the day, they did not know Jesus. They did not accept Jesus. We read this passage of Scripture from John chapter 1. And it said, to those who received him, to those who believed in his name, to these he gave them the right to become children of God. You see, there is for us a requirement. There is for us a responsibility, a response, if you will. We must respond to the risen Christ. It's not enough to just know the story. I'm here to tell you tonight, Christmas Eve 2018, you've got to know the Savior. Do you know him? Do you know the Savior? Have you opened your life and invited him in to your life? Isn't it interesting that when you read the accounts, as we read some of them today and we recounted it or we played it out, when the angels make the announcements of the coming of the birth of the Messiah, who do they make it to? They go out in the fields and they make it to the shepherds, ordinary, lowly people. They go to Mary. They go to Joseph. They don't go to the religious elite because they knew their hearts would not receive it. My question, as I have asked this question of you, is this. Are your hearts like the shepherds, where you don't think that you're so sophisticated that this just couldn't be? Jesus couldn't be the Savior. I have a friend. She's a young person. And she's very opinionated. And she will tell you, if you ask her, she will tell you. She'll say, oh, no, Jesus is not the Messiah. Jesus is not the Messiah. And I'm a little bit stunned at that statement. It's like, well, have you ever considered it? Have you ever even read the scriptures that talk about Jesus? Are you like the shepherds, lowly, where you have the right estimate of yourself, the right account of yourself? Or are you like the religious elite where you know it all? You know, this Jesus stuff. It's just a little too simple and a little too made up for this sophisticated century and culture that we live in. To those who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave them the right to become children of God. Some people that we read in the Bible are like us, and we are like them, where they try to fit Jesus into their schedule. They try to fit Jesus into their agenda. Well, Jesus, you know, I want you to come be a part of my life, you know. And if you'll do thus and so for me, then I'll serve you. But I'm only going to give you Sundays and only an hour at that. And God forbid that that pastor, that preacher goes over an hour. Is that what we're like? Or have we received Jesus where our whole life is surrendered to him? You see, if you're going to follow Jesus, it has to be on his terms. I shared this past Sunday that at the end of the Bible, the book of Revelation, Jesus' final words to his church, he says, I stand at the door and I knock. And he says, if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and I will have fellowship with them. And that's his offer. He won't push the door open. He won't force the door open. He's waiting for us to open it. And so when we do believe in Him, when we receive Him, and He comes by invitation only, then we're reborn and we receive His grace. This is the true meaning of Christmas. Christ the Savior is born. What does that mean? He's the Savior of my soul, of my life. Do you know Him tonight, the Savior? Do you truly know Him? I think one of the saddest things in this life and in this world is that we could go through life and maybe things will go well for you or maybe they will be difficult. But if you go through life and you don't know Jesus, number one, you've missed everything that He wants to do in your life here. And then you miss being with Him for eternity. I know in this day that it's just not very popular and it's not in vogue to talk about Jesus, who is the one and only Son of God, who we must have a relationship. But I know and I understand that in this day, there's a lot of competing philosophies, a lot of competing worldviews, a lot of competing religions. But I'm here to tell you tonight, you have to make a decision. You and I have to make a choice. Are we going to follow Jesus Christ? Are we going to invite Him in and know Him as Savior? And He will be a living reality in our lives. So I close with the question I began with. Have you received God's Christmas gift into your life? Have you truly received Him? And do you know Him? Know Him as Savior. Know Him as Lord. That living, risen Savior that He is. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank You for this beautiful night. Thank You for the wonderful time we've had in portraying the birth, the life, the death, and the resurrection of Your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, may each of us go away knowing that it's much more than a story, that He is the Savior. I pray for each one here tonight that this beautiful story and its deep meaning will touch our hearts. And Lord, we indeed will open our hearts to Him and we will invite Him in. And we will live a life with Him right here with us, leading us, guiding us every day. If that's you and you have never done that, what a beautiful night to do it. What a beautiful night to invite Jesus into your life. So I invite you in these quiet moments to open your heart, say, Jesus, I want to know You. I believe that You are the Son of God, that You were born, You died for my sins, and You rose again. And I invite you, living Christ, to come into my life. If that's you, I invite you to pray that prayer right now. It's that simple. And if you mean it and you're sincere, then Jesus will do a miracle in your life. And then tell people about it. Jesus said, if you confess Me before others, I will confess you before My Father. Father, I pray for each one that we will make sure, we will have absolute certainty that we know the Savior. I pray this in Jesus' name. And the people of God said, amen. I'm going to invite the choir to come on up at this time and also the ushers to come and to pass out the lights. And the way that these lights work is that you just twist the bottom and it goes on like this. And the reason we're not using real candles is the safety issue. Hot wax dripping on hands and on the seats has been a problem. So we invite the choir to come on up. And we're going to sing that beautiful song in closing, Silent Night. As you receive a candle, we invite you to stand. Our ushers are passing them out. We'll need to give them just a second. If we have some extra candles when you're done passing them out, you can bring some up to the choir members. If you received one, would you please stand? We're going to bring the house lights down to the point where it'll be just the candles and the decorative lights, and we'll sing that beautiful song, Silent Night. Let's begin together.